Good morning. We want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. We've been in 2 Timothy since before Christmas, and we're working our way through this little book. And we're come to chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. And I'll go back and read verse 23. Luke and I had a discussion about, does it belong with 24 through 26, or does it belong with 20 through? So really the whole section could be preached as one, but we broke it in two and we're focusing on it. 2 Timothy 2, I'll start in verse 23 and read down to the end of the chapter. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may give them repentance, leading to the full knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word and the hearing. And Lord, would you bless the doing? Lord, help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only, to put into practice what you've asked for us to do. And Lord, give us the grace to comprehend and to understand this. And Lord, may it all be to your glory. We rest this time with you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Paul's final word picture in chapter 2 is of a slave, a doulos. And the character of the Lord's slave is contrasted with that of the false teachers who were there in Ephesus, who they were known for their quarreling and they were known for their speculation. And maybe that sounded like, well, I think that they speculated about it, and somebody's saying, oh yeah, I don't think that's right. And so it was going back and forth. They were quarreling. In our text, Paul shows how Timothy was to conduct himself as the Lord's slave or servant. It applies to those of us, especially if you're a church leader. It applies directly to you. But it also applies to every member in God's family, because we all have relationships that require at times this type of action. If we truly love people around us, we're seeking to bring about them in them biblical correction. So I have as a main idea down there, as the Lord's slave, we must display a Christ-like attitude as we seek to correct those who have fallen to sin and doctrinal error. There's people who are trapped, and a lot of times they need our help. And you may ask the question, how do you confront people? Do you like to confront people? Who likes to confront people here? Do you like to confront people? Yeah. It's difficult. Years ago, the Nuthetic Counseling, they adopted the term care-fronting. We care enough to confront people, you know, care-fronting. But Paul shows us that we should not be argumentative. We shouldn't be quarrelsome. And that's what Timothy was up against. And we have to correct those that are in opposition to the Lord. He gives us four characteristics that should be operational in our lives. If we consider ourselves, if we're the Lord's slave, if we're His servant, here's four characteristics that should be how we should serve, things that we must do. And the first one is simply that the Lord's slave is not to be quarrelsome. The Lord's slave is not to be quarrelsome. That Lord's slave, I should say, that's possessive. It's like a reminder. It's like saying, remember that you are the Lord's. You belong to the Lord. It's your master. He bought you. He paid for you. And that you belong to Him. And you should not be quarrelsome as you remember who you are. You remember whose you are. You can't effectively correct someone if you're the attitude is one of antagonism. You know, if you're a person who we looked at a couple weeks ago as constantly engaged in word battles, disputing, arguments. Many times we really the most effective correction can become from the heart of one who cares about the other person. If you love people, that you know that's where the care fronting comes into play. You know, the phrase I have down there, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. I don't know who said that, but that's true. You must care about people. If you go to people to set them straight, I'm going to straighten them out. If I go to people to prove that they're wrong, I'm going to prove my point and not show that I'm genuinely concerned or that I love people. It's very easy for that person's, pride. They're going to say, I was right all along. He's coming from his angle and he's trying to prove a point. And your point may be biblical, but you must determine before you go the other person that you won't get into an argument. You won't engage in word battles. You won't quarrel, because again, people are going to attack your motives for doing so. I remember when I was a manager at Tunex, I remember a long time ago, automotive repair. It happened, and inevitably happened, people would come back in and they would complain about their vehicle. We fix cars, and you mess my car up. It's not running right. And they go, they you're here, they're here. And the temptation was to go up here and say, yeah, but your car's a piece of junk. And we fixed it, and it's got a lot wrong with it, and you didn't fix these up. I noticed very quick that wasn't the way to engage people. You have to de-escalate and disengage and keep it on an even keel. And in this case, a quarrelsome man, he argues about foolish controversies. He's not thinking about it when he's arguing that what I'm arguing about here, what it is that they're disputing, these speculations, it's not going to profit anybody. It's not going to profit the hearers. And so he has no problem continuing that conversation that would would really breed division and not unity among the hearers. And he focuses on those things that, you know, maybe we'd say they're secondary. And we should talk, you know, that's what the Lord's slave, the Lord's bondservant is to do. It's important that we discuss challenging topics from time to time. It's important that we discuss controversial topics. But how a man addresses those topics really has to do with his character. When they're discussed, they need to be done out of consideration for others. But things still need to be addressed. They need to talk about. So do you discuss those things? You know, I mean, if you want to quarrel, but you think, okay, I can't. But do I want to understand? Are you a peacemaker? Do you think that you're the expert that other people need? Do you think that you're qualified to instruct others and teach them and correct them? Do you come to conversations wanting to be listened to, or do you strive to be a good listener? Well, a quarrelsome, contentious person, they want to argue, they want to fight, and they want to do so usually at the wrong time and at the wrong ways. I mean, a lot of times it's just timing. Did they need to be addressed there in that place at that time? So don't be drawn into the quarrels. Lord, we pray, Lord, help us. We want to conform to the image of Christ, who was not quarrelsome. He was gentle and lowly. So if you allow yourself to be drawn into quarrels, you can't be effective in having a ministry of correction. And this, you know, as I said, this applies to really all of us. It applies to husband and wife relationship. It applies to when you're speaking to your children. The Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome. Secondly, the Lord's slave must be kind to all. The Greek word means mild or gentle. Paul uses it in Thessalonians to refer to his own behavior and how he conducted himself among the Thessalonian believers. And we often think that for correction to be effective, I've got to be stern. You come and talk to someone really stern, maybe even harsh. We could say maybe the Mr. Banks approach. You know, he was stern, harsh. I'm thinking Mary Poppins, if you're not with me yet. You know, okay, forget about that illustration. But, you know, being harsh, being stern. But Paul says we must be kind. We must be kind. So do you correct others as a nursing mother would? You know, do you correct in the same way, the same kindness that you would show to a nursing infant? So being kind to all. Third, the Lord's slave must be able to teach. Some versions say apt to teach. The Greek word is only found twice in Scripture. The first mention of the term is in the qualification for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then the second term second time it's mentioned is here in this passage. In both places it's translated able to teach. And Thayer defines the term as apt and skillful in teaching. Vine says skilled in teaching. And Paul is instructing Timothy here in 2 Timothy 2. He's wanting him to be skilled in his teaching as a servant of the Lord, as a slave of the Lord. And he explains why Timothy would be able to correct those who are in opposition so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. The same need is present among elders as we are given the responsibility to feed the flock, or need of the ability to teach. Must be able to teach. Titus wrote that an elder must be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. But all should be striving to be apt to teach or able to teach. And the ability varies, but, you know, one may be apt. One may not be as capable as someone, but they have the ability. They have the ability to teach. And fourth, he says, the slave must be patient when wronged. The Lord's slave must be patient when wronged. That's a little more difficult when you're wronged. You know, a lot of examples that we could consider about patience. You either have patience or you don't. There are a lot of times where we are tested to our limit, and maybe we aren't too encouraged by the way we responded, but we are to be patient when wronged. Patience is the ability to wait for results that aren't going to come immediately. James chapter 5, he says the hardworking farmer. He gives a farmer as an illustration, the patience that he has as he awaits for the crops. And often when we try and correct others, what happens? They may respond by attacking you. They'll falsely accuse you of wrong motives, or they'll bring up shortcomings in your behavior. I can't believe you said that I should, but you. And they try and divert matters away from their own sin. And if we're impatient when we're wronged, we lose the ability to correct people, effectively. So we have to be patient and realize that the Lord's servant must be patient when wronged. And the bulk of this passage deals with the Lord's servant or slave must correct in gentleness. Verses 25 through 26. He says, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may give them repentance, leading to the full knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. It's quite a picture. The word gentleness, I've said it before, I think I did already in this sermon series, but the word used in secular Greek, it was used of a horse that had been broken. You know, the horse is very strong, but it comes under the control of its rider. It's powerful, but it's in complete submission to its rider, to its master. So the biblical word may include behavior or speech that is strong at times, but the gentle person is sensitive and completely submissive to his master's will. He's not acting out of self-will. He is the Lord's slave. And we speak for someone else. I like the concept of we're an ambassador. You know, one who, you know, we're representing our Savior. When we witness to people, we're telling them of the demands of the King. And so the character of the Lord's slave, he contrasts it with false teachers in this passage who wish to quarrel about speculations. The slave is to be gentle. And Paul mentioned this twice. He mentioned it in verse 24. He mentions it in verse 25. And this is listed in the list of pastoral qualifications elsewhere. The faithful teacher is not to be hot-tempered or violent. The way of the flesh would be to take out your emotions, your temper, your anger on people with rash words. So the Lord's slave must be different. He must pursue Christ, who produces the fruit of gentleness. The fruit of gentleness. Paul said to the Thessalonians, again, we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother would be with her own children. And that's quite an image that he gives. But you don't want to miss what he says, too. He doesn't tell Timothy to shrink back. That would be inconsistent with what he's already said throughout the book. You know, he said, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. You know, he hasn't given us a spirit of cowardness. The Lord's slave is charged to be instructing those people who may be in opposition. So gentleness doesn't mean timidity. It is strength under control. Timothy is called to be correcting those who were in Ephesus, but to do it gently. And the goal of such an attitude, that he was to have an attitude, was their salvation. It's their opponent's salvation. And Paul expresses really the heart of the evangelist. If perhaps God will grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. And that tells me that I'm not out as a follower of Christ to be seeking to win arguments. We're to win souls. We're to introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ, not win the argument. Faithful teachers want to see people turn from sin and turn to Christ and lay down the things that they believe that are false, the things that can be considered false doctrine, and turn and do the Lord's will. Follow the truth of the gospel. Behind this is the belief that the real enemy is not false teachers, but the devil, who has captured them to do his will. And that's a sobering reminder, because we can get engaged, you know, all of these things that he's warning him not to be partaking in, the word battles, the disputing. Paul wanted Timothy to share his desire in seeing them come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. And we know what it is to be. Yeah, I told my wife, no, I never said I wasn't going to use this illustration. Okay. Well, back in Kansas, you know, we maybe set traps. But my son, I won't say which one, he's not here. He set a trap. And he caught the cat. And it was quite... anyway, he got the cat released. But, you know, when an animal's trapped, it doesn't know you're trying to help it. You want to release it. You want to go and calm him down and release him and make sure that he's okay. And Paul wants Timothy, wants him to help these people, to escape the devil's trap. And a lot of times people don't know that you're trying to help them. They're in the grip of the evil one. They're in a desperate need. Sin has created a need in them, and they have a need to come to the truth, to come to their senses. And their hope is in you. Gentle gospel witness of the Lord's slave and the Lord's grace working in their life, that they will repent. That God, and it says, who may grant them repentance. Maybe they'll have their eyes open to the work of Christ and they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Christ is our great example. He was the ultimate servant. He says that he was gentle and humble in heart. He said that we could find rest if we would come to him. He's portrayed as both meek and also majestic in the servant song of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant endured the reproach of men, the flogging of men, the mocking of sinners. And he went to the cross like a sheep before its shears was silent. He all did it willingly. And he was crushed for our iniquity. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he didn't open his mouth. And Christ bore our sins on the cross. The Lord's servant. And he's a model for all of us as the Lord's followers, as the Lord's teachers, to follow after his example. We trust him. And God gives us the power to live for him through the Holy Spirit in these ways. And by God's grace, we'll see people come free. They'll be free. They've been held captive by him to do his will. But they'll come to freedom through Christ. And probably every one of us who is, walking with Christ today, we wouldn't be where we're at if someone hadn't told us the good news of salvation, who hadn't gently probably corrected us from time to time in love. And many times in my life, I'll spare you the illustrations, but people have confronted me about sin in my life. And as I think back, those times that it was done in love, it was done gently, I responded. Or I remember that today, their concern. We all need this kind of ministry from time to time, because we're all prone to sin. We're all prone to get off the path. We're all prone to go astray. But if we're a cleansed vessel, as we looked at last week, if we're fleeing from sin, we're pursuing godliness, then we're called to pursue the gentle ministry of correcting people who are in sin and are in doctrinal error and have drifted away. But we're to do it without quarreling. We're to do it with kindness. We're to do it as we teach others. We're to do it with patience. And the difficult part is, even if we've been wronged, and we're supposed to correct them with gentleness so they might see Christ in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks directly into our lives. And Father, I pray that for each one of us, you would help us in this area. And Lord, the things that we maybe have been uptight about, the ways that we may want to quarrel, Lord, help us set them all aside and be patient with people, to be kind with people, to be faithfully teaching the Word of God. And Lord, maybe see people come to life. Maybe see them be free from sin. And Lord, there are people in our life that need freeing. They've been entangled. And Father, use us. Use us in a way that would reach our brothers and sisters for Christ. Lord, we commit this day to you and thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.